I'm Courtney O'Nadick. I was fortunate enough to be able to do programming again this year, and as a committee this year, we each submitted someone, and whoever wanted to submit a recording for the main speakers, all three spots could, and we ended up just putting all the names in a hat and picking, so God really chose the speaker, but this so happens to be the person that I put in there, so hey. But I heard this man give his lead. You took my paper away. I heard this man give his lead about 5 years ago at River of Hope. He was the main speaker there, and I still remember it to today, so it was just really touching lead, and it touched my heart. So I will give you Rich L, and I don't know what group because they took the paper away from me.
Can't leave anything unattended around here, right? Hi, family. I'm Natick, named Rich. So my home group is Just a Desire, which is in the Northeast Freedom area of the Free State region of Narcotics Anonymous in Maryland. And the retreat that Courtney is speaking about is River of Hope, which is Tri-County Area's Unity Retreat, which actually, that's where I originally got clean in Southern Maryland. And my clean date's July 17th, 1996, and this is the 19th year that you guys are having this retreat here, which is really awesome, and what an honor. You know, and there's no coincidences around here. When I look back on my journey, it's kind of hard, in a way it's hard to believe that I've been able to stay here as long as I have. And I guess what I mean by that is 19 years kind of has gone by pretty fast, you know, but I remember what it felt like the last time I used. I remember that clearly, and I pray to God that I never forget what that felt like. Because I had been exposed to this program before that, and relapse is a part of my story, but it doesn't have to be a part of yours. And I will tell you that I'm not going to share a war story tonight, but I will say that the relapse was worse than coming in the first time, because what happened with me is there were like 5 times that I used over the course of 5 months, and every time I came back in off a run, I still had money in my pocket. That never happened when I was out there full blown, you know, and the disease had me in the grips once again. But I remember lying on a bed in a men's shelter, which actually was a lot plusher than it sounds. It was in Southern Maryland, but on the night of July 16th, I just remember lying in this bed asking myself, have you had enough, you know? And thank God, thank you people, thank this program of Narcotics Anonymous, I haven't used since then. Now, it's not like I haven't ever thought about it, and it's not like I haven't acted out in some really insane ways, but, you know, just for today, it's a great day. This is a great program. This is such an honor. I want to thank Courtney. I want to thank everybody else that's been involved in this retreat. Having been involved in not the Unity Retreat in Southern Maryland, but back in 2004, we ended up, all of us in Tri-County ended up hosting the CMP convention in Ocean City. I know how much work goes into a convention, and I have nothing but respect for everybody. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of dedication. What it did for our area, because we were an area that was really small, and the area's grown a lot. You know, meetings that I used to go to in Tri-County that had 8, 10 people now have routinely 50 or 60 people. What it did for us is it really created a sense of unity. You know, it really brought everybody together, and we really were able to put the principles before the personalities. And I love the fact that you know, our common welfare should come first. I love that. I love this program. It's an honor and a blessing to get to be asked to do anything for Narcotics Anonymous. Because, you know, I was the guy that when I showed up at somebody's house at the end of my road, the blinds went down, the lights went out. It's like, oh no, Rich is here again. Don't open the door. You know, act like nobody's here. And that was, you know, I didn't realize until after I got in here, but basically I had created that for myself through my own actions. You know, really when I think about my childhood and I think about how I was brought up, it wasn't like I came from a family of addicts. It wasn't like I was brought up in some kind of dysfunctional family. There was some stuff that happened. My mom suffered from mental illness, and I know that at an early age I felt some abandonment behind that, and I never really understood the whole concept of depression because I was like 12 or 13 years old, and we were at some hotel in the summer, and we had to leave, you know, and my mom went away, and I didn't, you know, as a kid, I really didn't understand, well, how come you just can't feel better? You know, and I'm bringing that up because I'm at a point in my life now where really starting to do some deep work behind that stuff because I'm getting some outside help because cycling through not really crazy manics but ups and downs has been a part of my life for probably my whole life. You know, and in recovery there's been a period of time or two when I took medication for it, and I'm not taking medication now, but I'm getting some outside help, you know, and these are the kind of things that I don't want to talk about, you know, that I want to attach some shame and give some power to, like, oh, I, you know, if I told these people what's really going on in my life, they're not going to want to have anything to do with me. But the truth is that you people do a much better job of loving me than I do, you know, most of the time. I mean, and that's the truth, you know, and accepting me and loving me exactly where I'm at, you know, and one of the things that my therapist said to me was about, you know, going through these periods of being down and, you know, and just kind of sitting through them and knowing that I'm going to get to the other side. She just looked at me and she said, so you haven't really ever done any work about this? And I was like, put the truth stick down, please. You know, the truth is that I need to do work on this, on myself, because I want to become a better person. I don't expect to be walking around thinking that la-la life is great all the time, because it's not. Stuff happens. And my experience has shown me that the longer I stay here, more stuff's going to happen. You know, the question is how am I going to deal with it? How am I going to get through it? And then it becomes the whole unity piece. Then it becomes, no, how are we going to get through it? Because I'm not capable of consistently making good decisions. It says that in our basic text. So that leads me, and in the basic text, when it says that, it doesn't say anything about how much clean time you have. It doesn't say, oh, you're going to get to X amount of clean time, and then you're going to be consistently capable of making good decisions. Thank God. You know, when I first got here, I guess I had this perception that people would have this amount of clean time and be good to go. And, you know, the longer I stay here, the more I realize what a lie that is, and the more I realize that this disease is constantly out to lie to me and constantly trying to sell me out. You know, when I got this text message from Courtney about coming here and sharing at this retreat, and I just bust out crying, and I went to my wife and I said, oh my God, they want me to speak at this meeting, and they want me to do the main meeting, and I was just completely overwhelmed with gratitude, and I still am. And I thank you for, again, having faith in me when I didn't even necessarily have faith in myself. And, you know, I've been praying to just let God speak through me, you know, and just carry a message of hope and, you know, the promise of freedom. And this is, I mean, we are so blessed. You know, sometimes I lose sight of the fact that I've gotten freedom from active addiction. I grew up in New York City. I live outside of Baltimore. I work in downtown Baltimore. The disease is all around me, and you know, I see people nodding out on the streets. I see people living on the streets, and you know what? They're but for the grace of God, though I, you know, and that's part of my story. I tried to dress it up. I didn't call it homelessness. I was crashing at friends' houses, you know. Roughing it, right? It's perfectly, you know, sleeping in your car night after night, perfectly normal, right? Everyone does that. You know, and I had this illusion that because my family of origin was miles away from me, a few states away from me, that somehow, you know, they wouldn't know what was going on, right? You know, but of course they did. And, you know, I just kept on going on to the bitter ends, and jail didn't become part of it, but there was a bench worn out for me. You know, it was a mess at the end. And, you know, as far as prayer, I really firmly believe in prayer, and the solid concrete proof that I have of prayer working is the fact that my story was using against my will for years. You know, it had stopped being fun years before I got clean. And the fact that I got to a place where I was able to stop and get clean and actually stop using, to me, is proof positive that you people prayed me into the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. Because, you know, so tonight, you know, or anytime I think about it, you know, those people that are out on the streets, people I knew that might have been around, I pray for them. You know, when I think about sponsees of mine that aren't around anymore, I pray for them. Because that's powerful. You know, that prayer really works. I mean, look around you. We're a room full of miracles. This is, you know, it's incredible. I mean, even on a day when I'm like feeling down or not, you know, however it is I'm feeling, the fact of the matter is I woke up and I didn't have to go get high. In Tri-County area, there was a guy that used to talk about whoever woke up the earliest had the most clean time. And, you know, and there's something to be said for that. There really is keeping it on a one-day path. And that's, you know, when I can stay in this moment, when I can keep it in today, then I'm good. You know, where I seem to get myself tripped up is I'm somewhere down the road 6 months, or I'm back in last week, or I'm giving myself a hard time or beating myself up about something that I felt I could have done differently, instead of accepting the fact that the universe is in perfect order and everything's exactly as it's supposed to be. You know, the first time I heard stuff like that, I'll have to admit, I had a hard time with that, you know. But what I will tell you about this program of Narcotics Anonymous is the very first meeting of Narcotics Anonymous that I went to, which was a couple of years before I got clean, when I walked into a room full of strangers, and maybe I hadn't used that day, but I certainly, I mean, I guess on some level it was a desire to stop using. I was in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, but I clearly was not done. What I can tell you is I walked into this room full of strangers and immediately knew in my heart that I was home. That's powerful. You know, and for my home group today, which has been my home group for about, I guess about a year now, and was my home group a number of years ago, we try to bring that spirit with us, you know, when people come into the room. And it's really important, I think, to make people feel welcome. I've been blessed. I've been able to go to meetings in different towns and different cities and even different countries. And, you know, the truth that I have found is I wasn't always made to feel welcome. It's not like I was shunned. But there were times that I went to meetings and raised my hand and said that I was new or I was visiting, and, you know, not one person came up to me after the meeting. I know that we're all human, you know, and believe me, I set standards for myself that I really have, sometimes I just can't reach them, but, you know, I really try to be there for the next person, because you people consistently show up for me. And I've seen it happen numerous times in my life where Narcotics Anonymous just showed up. Yeah, I was talking with my sponsor about coming here, and we were talking about it, and I'm like, well, you got any ideas for me? And he's like, I got a great topic for you. Talk about NA, meaning never alone. You know, and that's an awesome topic. You know, I don't ever have to be alone today. The end of my road was all about me being alone. You know, there wasn't any, I mean, yeah, sure, drugs were fun for a long time, and it was fun for a long time, but once it stopped being fun, it never came back to that. You know, it never came back to that, oh, it's going to be great again. It just got worse and worse and worse. And there wasn't any, I don't know about your story, but it wasn't like, I don't remember a whole lot of socializing around using a lot of drugs. Not at the end of my story. You know, my socializing included, you know, sleeping in my car in some shopping center in Southern Maryland and having the same cop knock on the window two successive days in a row, you know, asking me what I'm doing here. And it's like, well, I had a fight with my girlfriend. Well, oh, you told me that yesterday. Oh, well, let's see. You know, it was a real mess. My life was a real mess. It's not like that today, you know. Life is sweet, even regardless of how I'm feeling, what's going on. When I got here, you know, I had a college education, but I was unemployable. I was totally unreliable. I could not hold a job down. I could not show up for any kind of responsibilities. You know, I can remember times going to comp and looking at looking at houses and saying, oh, that's just not going to be me because I'm an addict. You know, and I had bought into the lie because I was just so caught up in the grip. And, you know, I don't know if you, I know a lot of you that, or a number of you come down to the retreat in Southern Maryland every year. And, you know, look around that area, it's pretty rural. And that's where I did my worst using, you know, and I don't know, you can stop when you're done using, you know. I didn't realize things like that then, but I realize that today. You know, and I see, the thing that terrifies me is I see people that have a lot more clean time than me that can't get 24 hours together now. And that really scares me. And so I know for me, I have to stay vigilant in my recovery. I have to put my recovery first, no matter what. You know, now, at this point in my life, I don't go to a meeting every night, but I go to meetings on a regular basis. I talk to my sponsor on a regular basis. Until a couple of weeks ago, I've had consistent service commitments the entire time I've been clean. And now I'm transitioning from being chair of an area, not even the area where my home group is, to picking up a service commitment in my home group and showing up. And that's what we do. You know, our home group's kind of like this one big, happy, dysfunctional family. I don't know if you guys can relate, but it's like we go through periods and, you know, it's like there's some bickering and there's some fighting and maybe some personalities come out, and then we come together with love, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. And there's people that were in that home group years ago when I first moved up to the Baltimore area back in 2007, and they're still there, and they're still clean. And there's a bunch of new people that have joined that home group, and it's awesome, it's really powerful. You know, we do literature some weeks, we have speakers some week. You know, it's just it's a real gift and a real blessing to feel a part of and not apart from. Because that's what my using, you know, became. For a long time it was like that. You know, like I said, I can't tell you I haven't thought about using, because I have. What I can tell you is that thought doesn't really cross my mind a whole lot. Or I'll think about, well, I need to act out in this way, or I need to act out in that way. And something else that I want to share about is night eating. Again, this is something that I came into recovery and wouldn't even talk about, and it's not so much the action, but how I felt about it. You know, I did this for years clean. I did it for years before I got clean. It made more sense before I got clean because I'd go for days without eating. Who has time to eat? You're on a run. Yeah, I have my priorities straight. And being clean, that became an issue. But, you know, I wouldn't deal with it. It was just one of those things that, you know, our secrets grow in the dark, you know, whatever it says about that in the basic text. But, you know, I wouldn't talk about it, or maybe I'd tell one or two people about it, but I really didn't want to get any help, so I really wasn't going to bring it up. And in the last couple of months, you know, I decided, you know what, I'm tired of this shame. I'm tired of this being a source of shame and guilt in my life. And, you know, I prayed about it, and nothing happened, and then I went and got some help, and happened to switch doctors at the time and brought it to my doctor's attention. I brought it to the light of day because I didn't want to live that way anymore. I didn't want to feel those feelings of shame and guilt of waking up in the middle of the night, going to get something to eat, and then, you know, feeling that shame and guilt the next day. And I went to a psychiatrist. I talked about it. He gave me some suggestions. I'm not going to tell you I followed all or any of them, but somehow, through a miracle, I was able to stop eating at night, you know, and that's God working in my life. That's people, that's my prayers and other people's prayers. And, you know, I guess maybe to some people that might sound like a trivial thing, but it was how I felt about it that was really eating at me. You know, it was how I felt the feeling of shame and guilt that I just didn't want to live that way anymore. I didn't want to feel that way anymore. And when something like that happens, and we're able to overcome stuff like that, that just is like a huge beacon of hope for me. That's like, you know what, no matter what comes down the pike, like, we'll get through this. I may not by myself, but we'll get through it. You know, and there's been a couple of times that I've eaten at night since then, and I've learned to forgive myself and learned to be a little easier on myself. You know, and those are all gifts of recovery because, you know, when I got here, I really hated myself. You know, I didn't feel a whole lot of feelings at that point. I remember feeling a lot of anger, you know, and a lot of nothing, really, because I had spent years numbing myself out from, constant drug use, and I just really hated myself. And I remember, talking to my dad on the phone and crying to him on the phone again. And, he was saying, don't cry. And, I told him, I said, well, there's these rehabs that have all these waiting lists for beds. And then there's one private one, but, you're going to have to give them money. And he called up the rehab. Thank God he got a recovering addict on the phone because he was going to send me the money. And the woman on the phone said, don't send him the money because he'll never get here. Send it to us. And he did. And I got there in September of 1995. And, the place has been closed for a long time. I ended up getting in a relationship with that woman. That's a whole nother story, but not while I was in there. But, I got there, and after 2 weeks, they were ready to let me go, and the head counselor called my dad. My dad said, no, keep him. So they kept me another 2 weeks. My dad passed away back in December of 2004, but I got to do a ninth step with him. I got to sit with my father and do a ninth step. And that was really powerful, And I remember at the time, my dad was like a really wise guy. I loved him, I still do. There's no book about grieving. I mean, there are books about grieving. I don't think there's any wrong way to grieve, And sometimes I think about him, and I think about the fact of he was sick and in a hospital for a couple of months with cancer, and I was able to be there every day. And while I was there, I was back in my hometown in Queens, New York, going to meetings of Narcotics Anonymous, talking about how I felt, and people just surrounded themselves around me and just loved me. And there was a guy, Joey T from New York, who I know some of you people know. And we just got to be really close, and we still are. And I'm going to see him in September at the Unity Retreat down in Southern Maryland. And, you get to have these kind of friendships around here that there's other people outside of the rooms that I consider close friends. But you people are family. You people are family more than my family of origin is family. And that's nothing against them. That's just how I feel. But, I got to do my ninth step with my father, and I was talking to him and, explaining exactly what was going on. And my dad's like, this drugs must have been pretty good. I don't think, Dad, I'm trying to do a ninth step here. Please, don't start glorifying it. He's not one of us. My brother's not one of us. I have a niece who is one of us, and she's got a couple years clean now, I guess. I don't know. I don't work for program. I don't work my wife's program. But, the point is that when she had a problem and she went to my parents about it, she also reached out to me and let me know what was going on. And that's powerful, That's really awesome. I continue to pray for her. I continue to pray that she keeps doing the right thing, and that's really all. That's the most. That's the greatest gift that I could give somebody else, other than just showing up and being there, is to pray for her. I'm really, really blessed in my life today because I basically get to be of service on my day job, which is working in a hospital and dealing with patients that are coming in with really, cancer patients, people with some serious vascular issues, transplant patients, and I'm there to sort of guide them and help them out in getting registered for their appointments and basically just getting to be there of service. And that's really what it's about. And I think about what's going on in my life, what I might consider a problem, and I see somebody coming off the elevator that just got a cancer diagnosis or is really, really sick, and they're 30 years younger than me, but they look 30 years older than me. And I just have nothing but gratitude. And I pray for these people. I pray for them and I help them as best as I can, because this program teaches me that it's about taking what I've learned in here outside to the real world. And when I think about the fact that before I got here, all I did was take. All I did was, you know, it was like this hurricane force just stealing life. And it wasn't, you know, it was the money and it was everything else, but just taking joy and taking, you know, and trading that for depression with my dad and with other people that I knew. And of course, the people closest to me were the ones that I hurt the most. And to being at a place where I can give back, I don't even know how to start thanking anybody for that except to just continue to do the best job that I possibly can of being a good person, you know, of trying to give back this gift that's so freely given to me. When I went to that first meeting of Narcotics Anonymous and, you know, and I knew in my heart that I was home, I had no idea what was in store. I had no idea what my life was going to become. And what I will tell you from my own experience, which I have found time and time again, is that every time I think I have a plan of how things are going to work out, they never work out the way I think they're going to plan, that I think they're going to work out. They always work out better. And then when I look back, I see how God had a plan in my life that for whatever reason, either I didn't see, chose not to look at, but He had my back, you know, and it's all worked out the way it's supposed to work out. And that's powerful, you know. It's really, how do you repay, you know, when I think about that, I think about what the kind of lives that we get to live around here, and it's not about the money, it's not about, you know, I'm working a lot these days, I'm making good money, but it's not about that, it's about the fact that I can walk around today and I don't hate myself. It's about the fact that I can be okay in my own skin. It's about the fact that I can give, you know, I can help somebody else out with no strings attached. I'll never forget my first sponsor talking to me about, you know, what he would drill into my head was, you know, don't use no matter what, go to a meeting and help somebody out with no strings attached. Now, the first two I was okay with, at least for a minute. To help somebody out with no strings attached, what? You know, I need to get some sort of recognition for this somehow. You know, and what I find today is that I don't need that recognition. I don't need that to be that center of attention. I'm not going to say I don't have an ego that doesn't show up, because it does. But what really helps me out is just to know that I've helped somebody else out. You know, and that's that we even get the opportunity to do that, that I even get the opportunity to share a message with you people tonight. Wow, it's unbelievable. You know, I never envisioned this. I can remember the first convention I went to, which happened to be the Ocean City Convention. I was in treatment at the time. For some reason, they let me go. I had already been into the relapse mode. So when they did the clean time countdown, I stood up for 6 months. Of course, the truth is I had about 5 days clean, but that was my level of honesty at that point, you know. And plus, you know, there were other people at the treatment center there. I couldn't, you know, like they're all looking at me, right? There's 5,000 people in the auditorium, but they're all going to focus on me. You know, it's not that way today. I don't have to lie today. I'm in a relationship with my wife when we talk with each other, and you know, I don't work her program. She doesn't work my program. We may joke about it a little bit, but the truth is that, you know, her recovery is her responsibility. My recovery is my responsibility. I'm really blessed. I've got some sponsees in my life, and most of them I've had, there's what, five of them? Most of the guys we've been working together for a number of years now. So, you know, it's great. I mean, we watch each other go through things. We encourage each other through things. You know, my first sponsor used to talk to me about how I kept him on point, you know, with step work and things like that. And I get where he's coming from now. I see how these guys keep me on point, you know, and keep me working steps and staying in the middle of this thing. And for a while, we had like a regular monthly thing going on. Summer came along. We're going to get it going again. That's what I used to say before I got clean. Are you clean, Rich? I'm trying. For some reason, I don't know why to this day, but I remember showing up at area service in Tri-County and I wasn't clean yet. I don't know why, I don't know how that happened, but I can remember this guy, Nick, asking me, so Rich, are you clean? Yeah, I'm trying, you know. And service has always been a big part of my life, and that's what I've seen to be a common denominator with people in recovery, is that, you know, the service piece, giving it back. There's been times that, you know, I've, because of my schedule, work issue, whatever, the service commitments have had to come in other ways. But I had my sponsor at the time was like, you know, there's a lot of ways to give you service to this fellowship. And I didn't use that as a cop-out, but I have to be mindful because I can. You know, like I said, I'm not, you know, none of us are capable of consistently making good decisions. So I have to surround myself with people that have my best interests at heart, that are going to keep me on point, that are going to make sure that, you know, I do the right thing. Or at least if I'm not doing the right thing, love me enough to tell me and not co-sign and not, you know, say it's okay, Rich, it's not okay. You know, and I need people in my life to help me that way. I want to share about some, when I think on like crazy things that I've done clean, there really hasn't been a lot of that lately, thank God. But I have some points of reference. Right around the time that my father was really sick, I had met somebody online. And we were talking, and we were emailing, and we started chatting, and we started talking on the phone. And after my dad passed away, she paid half the airline ticket, and I went to go meet her. I also need to mention the fact that she happened to live in Cape Town, South Africa, and I was in Southern Maryland, right? Nothing wrong with that. Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. Oh, and I also need to mention that I was working in a treatment center that I had gotten thrown out of and ended up getting back in there working full time. So I was on family medical leave because my dad was ill in New York, and the way that I dealt with, you know, the way that I dealt with the feelings I felt after my dad passed away was to go fly halfway around the world and meet somebody that I've never met, who was in recovery and ran a treatment center in Cape Town, South Africa. So it was like, okay, yeah, this is a good idea. One of my buddies said, you'll be crazy if you do it, you'll be crazier if you don't do it. Of course, I'm sure I conveniently didn't mention to him the fact that I was essentially abandoning my job at the time and just telling my boss in a phone call from JFK in New York, well, I've got to do what I've got to do, and click, hanging up the phone and boarding the plane. What I will tell you is, and I'm not saying anything negative about internet romance or online dating, this is just my experience. Well, after about 24 hours, it was very obviously a train wreck. But what I will tell you is that the first night I was in Cape Town, South Africa, I went to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. She didn't go, and I went. And I'm really grateful that I went. It was a basic tech study. They went through the steps, unless there was a newcomer there. And if it was a newcomer, they read step one. And there happened to be a newcomer there that night, and they read step one. And I ended up actually getting a little network of people together in South Africa and going to some meetings. And, you know, I was committed to 4 weeks of being there, and I had a great time. You know, went to a bunch of meetings, saw a bunch of things that I'll never see again, and or maybe not, I don't know, maybe I'll go back. You know, and then I had to come back and deal with the consequences of having abandoned the job and no longer having any visible means of support, any of that stuff, and, you know, and choosing to be completely financially irresponsible and live off inheritance money for a while. And this is with years 20. You know, this wasn't like something that happened when I was in active addiction. Thank God my life isn't that way today. You know, we're on sound financial footing. You know, I'm just being financially responsible. You know, we both are. And I think about that, it's like, I look back, I don't know about you people, but I look back on my active addiction, and to this day, I still wonder how I was able to come up with the kind of money I was able to come up. It's like, how did that happen? Wow. You know, I mean, I couldn't hold jobs then. I had a career in radio. I ended up getting fired from this radio station twice, you know. And one time I walked into a meeting, and these people, this was in Tri-County in Southern Maryland, and people were asking me, what's your last name? And so apparently somebody called up the radio station that morning and said, oh yeah, I went to treatment with that guy. And you know, I guess the program's worked in my life because I wasn't upset, I wasn't pissed off at him. My first thought was, I hope that guy's clean. I mean, I remember him. This little guy named Mark. You know, I hope he's clean. I hope he's clean today. You know, when I was in active addiction, all the drug dealers in St. Mary's County had all the swag I could get my hands on from the radio station until they got wise and locked up the prize closet. You know, and all the promotional CDs ended up in all the local pawn shops, right? All the ones I could get my hands on. You know, and the first time I got let go of that radio station had nothing to do with my addiction, and the second time had everything to do with my addiction, and my boss at the time was like, well, you know, I just hope you get some help because your personal life's more important than any job. And my reply was, where's my paycheck? And he gave it to me, and it was dated the next day. And of course, I went to the bank it was drawn on and raised hell in the lobby until they cashed it for me just to get me out of there. And we all know what happened. You know, and thank God it's not, I'm not living that way today, you know. And I pray that I don't practice any more insanity clean. Although, to be honest with you, since it is an honest program, I'm not going to stand here and pretend that that's not going to happen. I just pray that, like, the people are around me to catch me and just pull me up on it before I get too far and get too many consequences that I'm going to have to go back and make amends on. You know, there's still people that I need to make amends to. I'm on a 12-step. I changed sponsors about, well, I guess it was less than a year ago. The guy that I had sponsoring me before passed of cancer, but he died clean. You know, he had celebrated 25 years, and I got to be at his 25th celebration, 25th anniversary. And everybody in the room just gave him so much love. You know, and when people talk that way about me, it's a little much sometimes. I'm like, who are they talking about? Who is this person? Because the disease will still try to sell me out. The disease is still going to try to tell me that I don't matter, I don't count, I don't have value. And there's a guy, well, some of you know John and Louise M, and John was like a brother to me. You know, we knew each other for years clean. And he used to say to me all the time, you know, just, it was like a mantra I'd repeat to myself, you count, you matter, you have value, you are enough. And sometimes I have to just stand in front of the mirror and say that to myself with 19 years clean. Because you know what? The disease can get really loud sometimes. The disease will still try to talk to me in my own voice, in my higher power's voice. And, you know, I'm not acting on it. I'm not going to act out on it today. Life is sweet. You know, this is, and it's beautiful up here. And you know, I want to say I love this area. It's gorgeous. I came to this retreat maybe 4 years ago, got terribly lost on the way here. I don't know what I would do without GPS, because I'm not the most directionally bright person in the world. But we got here fine today, and you know, and since we've gotten here, there's been nothing but love and just a great vibe here. So thank you for bringing that gift to me and to all of us. You know, it's the unity, the love, the acceptance. It's just an awesome thing, you know. And this is just such a good life that I never envisioned for myself. All I know is the last thing I used before I got clean was that I'd spent all this money and the drugs stopped working. You know, and that's when I really thought, okay, there's got to be another way. And that's when I kind of knew when I'd heard about this fellowship, because when I worked at that radio station and I used to work in the middle of the night, there would be a commercial that would run, of course, at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, which was prime time for us, right? And it was a guy from a treatment center talking about, well, you just did this or you just did that, you know, and somehow that was a message being carried to me even before I wanted to hear it. So I don't know what message I'm going to get to carry to somebody else before they want to hear it. But I'm going to do my best to keep living right and do the right thing. I guess one more thing that I just want to share about is how powerful this program is and how it works in my life is that retreat in Southern Maryland I went to. I was married before we got. She moved out. She got to a place where she couldn't stay clean. I couldn't be around it anymore. I went to that retreat, and when I came back, she had OD'd. And I called 911 because she happened to be staying at my place. And then I called somebody down the street in Narcotics Anonymous, And I called the people in Southern Maryland, and on a Sunday night, with a 2-hour drive, like 1,000 people showed up, and Narcotics Anonymous showed up in my life and loved me through that situation. And so I know I have one of the things that I was told by somebody who's a good friend of mine was that, you know, now you have a responsibility to take that message to other people, to let them know that no matter what happens in their life, they don't have to use no matter what. You know, so that's my message to you, that no matter what goes on in your life, you don't ever have to use again, and you don't ever have to be alone again, and you don't ever have to go through something thinking that no one's going to know how you feel, because we know how you feel. And if I don't know how you feel, I'll get you to somebody that does know how you feel, and will love you through it. And sometimes it's maybe even just listening and not really knowing what to say, because I may not have the answer. You know, I got to talk to somebody in my home group Tuesday night, and they're going through some stuff, and I just listened to them, and just like, you know, it's going to be okay. And I gave them a hug, and they're like, thanks for listening. That's what we do. We show up for each other. You know, it's beyond my wildest dreams. You know, when I used to hear people say, oh, you know, this is beyond my wildest dreams, I'd sit there and say, about that. When I hear people say that, you know, my worst day clean's better than my best day using, I can say that today, without a doubt. I remember what being caught in that hell of active addiction was like. I don't ever want to forget it. I don't ever want to forget what it was like the last time I used. You know, and we're just so blessed. I mean, I don't know. My take on it is that most people don't ever get into recovery. I don't know. It's just something that I've thought about over the years. And, you know, and in treatment, they talk about, you know, you're in a circle, and, well, you know, there's 10 of you here, and only one of you's going to make it, and I don't know. I think we can all make it, you know. I think that our message is hope. I know our message is hope. I know our message is promise is freedom. And I know that an addict, any addict, it doesn't say an addict that's relapsed 20 times can't get in here. It doesn't say an addict that's on some kind of drug replacement therapy can't get in here and stay in here and get to a place where they get off that drug replacement. It says that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for you people. I mean, couldn't have come up with this. I'm not this smart, you know. I can, I can try to intellectualize my way out of something, but, you know, I've got to feel my way through things. I've got to, you know, whether I'm dealing with the depression self in my life and dealing with not dealing, or working through step work with a sponsee, or going over a step with a sponsor, or just trying to practice some principles in my life, we get, you know, it's a daily reprieve. It's a one-day program. You know, so I really don't have anything else to share, except I want to thank you for believing in me enough to bring me up here tonight to share a message of hope. This is a life beyond my wildest dreams, because I couldn't have imagined things being this way. I couldn't have imagined. I remember clearly just not thinking I was ever going to be able to stop using. You know, and you people have shown me and continue to show me a new way of life with love. Sometimes it's with tough love, but it's always with love. You know, and it's always about us being here for each other with nothing but unity. So, you know, I hope you enjoy the rest of the night. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy your life, man. This is a gift. I mean, it really is, you know. Every day I wake up, it's a gift. There's a guy I work with. I don't think he's in recovery, but every time I see him, it's like, Michael, how you doing? Just for today, I'm doing great. Right on, you know. It's like, that's right, just for today. It's a one-day program. So, again, thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. And thank you for 12-stepping me. And I just want to let you know that I love you. And we are a room full of miracles. And don't ever forget what a gift and what a miracle you are, because we're really, you know, we're going against all the odds here. So, and for me, I'm living on borrowed time. So with that said, I feel like I have a responsibility to do the best job I can, to be the best person, and to just kind of be at a place of humility, because that's the ideal state for a recovering addict. So thanks again. I'm an addict named Rich. I love you. Have a great evening.